with you till 6 tonight from our Quality Jewelers Studios at Seasons Main Street in Bangor. Coming up on the program today, we'll talk with David Roth of Vice Sports. We'll go to Boston, check in with Kyle Draper, Comcast Sportsnet New England. SEC football talk with our friend David Wall, Alan Adams of the Main Edge, Bruce Pratt, Sports Lit 101. But let's kick things off by talking baseball. The Red Sox keeping on down at Camden Yards last night, game three of that series this evening. And to talk about that, we're joined on the phone by our friend Gary Thorne, the voice of the Baltimore Orioles. Hey, Gary.
Rich, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Just ducky. Win a couple would help.
That would be nicer for you. Absolutely.
That's an Orioles perspective.
Yeah, so that's why we called you, is for that Orioles
that's
perspective.
That's right.
And because we like you, there's that too.
Starting pitching is always what it's all about at this time of year, even more so. And the first two starts, the Red Sox had the better starting pitching.
Yeah,
Porcello was perfect, and last night Rodriguez was certainly better than good enough, and the Orioles right now are struggling with the starting. It's been a problem all year long, and that's got to be, they've got to come through. And then as tonight's got to come through, they've got to settle this starting down for the final 11 games, or they're not going to make.
Well, yeah, and now it's a more interesting race for the wild card, perhaps, than for the division title with several teams battling there, and the Orioles find themselves maybe not in a must-win, but it would sure go a long way tonight as they're now five games out in the East and a couple of teams breathing down their neck for the wild card.
Detroit, Seattle, these teams that are breathing for the wild card, Houston, they're all seem to be in the same boat, and that includes the Orioles, that there's not a lot of consistency, and none of these teams should be able to put together a good win streak. Seattle, they had 8 out of 10 there for a while, which put them back in the race. But like the Red Sox, you win 6 in a row this time of the year. That's an enormous difference between, going 5-4 or 5-5. And that seems to be what these other teams are doing. So it's who can put together a spring, I think, really is going to come out on the wild card side, and I haven't got a clue. I mean, Toronto's been completely inconsistent. Can't tell whether they play better at home or on the road. You don't know what you're going to get in starts. And the other clubs are virtually the same way. Seattle's going through starter problems. Houston, they should be able to score a lot of runs. Then they go into droughts, can't get it done. So I don't know. I mean, this thing's just going to get down to the wire, I think. I think the division thing is clearly in Boston's hands now. I mean, I don't see Toronto or probably even the Orioles being able to catch them. They're a good club. They're just a good club, and they're playing the best baseball of the year.
Has anything changed in this team from when you saw them a week ago at Fenway? They just seem to be playing better and getting those clutch hits now that weren't always falling for them.
Momentum, right? I mean, it is a thing in sports. It does matter, and they've got momentum. And they've got, at least against the Orioles, Mookie Betts and David Ortiz are single-handedly demolishing them at Camden Yards this year. And the Orioles don't seem to be able to find a way to stop them. And I think their starting pitching has solidified, and perhaps most important of all is the bullpen. Hell, they got the best bullpen going in the month of September with an ERA under 1. When you're doing that, you're gonna win some games, and that was supposed to be the soft spot for this team, and had been all year long, that middle relief situation, and now it's not. So they've taken care of what was the number one problem, and boy, you put all that together, you're gonna win some games, and they are.
Well, yeah, and a lot of that happened when Koji Uehara came back. It's odd that a 41-year-old guy would be the spark plug to turn around the performance of the bullpen, but I think what he's done is enable everybody else to go to a position where they're a bit more comfortable.
Yeah. In Boston, I was talking to John about that, John Farrell, and he used the word calm to me. Koji, of course, had played for the Orioles. We know him, and he is like kind of an individual. He brings a calming effect, and I think part of what John's talking about is exactly what you said. He calms everything down. Everybody gets back to doing what they thought they were supposed to do, and Koji is still effective. I mean, he comes on. All you're asking out of him is an inning, solid inning, get 3 outs, and you're done. And he can do that, and he can do it with authority. So, I mean, putting him back in there has, as John said, calmed it down, and made it a different looking bullpen.
We're talking to Gary Thorne, voice of the Orioles, the Old Town native here on Downtown. Up here in New England, as you know, every move that John Farrell makes is scrutinized and overanalyzed. What's the perspective from outside of New England on the job he's done as manager of this team?
I personally really like John, so I've got a kind of a bias. You know, when I was involved with the main guys, John was one of our pitchers on
That's
the
right,
ball club.
Yeah.
He was with the Cleveland Indians, came up and pitched for a while because we were their Triple-A team. And I really like him. I like him as a person. I like him as a manager. I think he's a very calm, controlled, has directives, which is very tough for a manager in this day and age where players have input from a lot of people and don't necessarily listen to the manager. I think John's got their ear. I think he finds a balance with that. I mean, I like him. I don't get to see him every day. I don't see the everyday decisions. But I know talking to the players, they certainly like playing for him. And they think he handles the game stuff pretty well. And those are off the record discussions with some of the guys. I mean, they like him and they like the way he manages.
Gary, I was some great contenders for the MVP in the American League this year, two of them on this Red Sox team at least. Who do you think is the league's most valuable guy?
Oof. Good luck on that one. I mean, I think, number one, the writers generally look to a winning team. So you got to be on a winning ball club. How do you count out David Ortiz, even though he's a DH? I mean, where would the Red Sox be without the numbers he's put up this year? Dustin Pedroia, for all he does for the ball club, how valuable is he to the Red Sox? We've got Manny Machado for the Orioles. Where would the Orioles be without him? Mm-hmm. If Houston comes along and should make it into the postseason as a wild card, Altuve's having a record year. I mean, one of the great years ever in baseball for a second baseman. I don't think there's a clear cut. And if Porcello wins 23 games, is he a Cy Young and an MVP? I don't know, but I think you got a lot of candidates, and I think what may happen is Boston may end up splitting some of the votes with the play that they have gotten from a number of people deserving of consideration.
And when you talk about Cy Young, two candidates are probably right there at Camden Yards with Porcello and Zach Britton.
Yeah, I mean, Zach has been untouchable. You get the best read on Zach from opposing ball clubs. I don't think there's any question right now. He has the best sinker in baseball. I think he's only comparable just on this year's basis, not as a career, with Mariano. I mean, he has that effectiveness and ability to dominate a game. Mariano did it with a cutter, and Zach does it with a sinker. And guys say, you know it's coming. You know that's what he's going to throw, and you see it, and you swear it's going to be at knee height, and you start swinging, and it bounces off the plate. And he's been able to throw that pitch effectively for the entire year, which is a pretty amazing accomplishment, and, of course, is 100% in save opportunities. So he'll get consideration. I think it's tough for a reliever, especially if the team shouldn't make the playoffs, to get Cy Young Award votes when you compare it to a starter like Porcello. When you're half, when you got 20 game winners, they're tough to ignore.
So heading into the postseason, assuming your Orioles make it and excluding the Orioles, who becomes the team to beat? Is about a team that has the fewest weaknesses, or is that momentum something that can carry over into the postseason?
I think it's momentum that you carry over. And you know, as people say or are saying now, for the Cubs, that I think is the biggest problem. They have had this first-place position locked down for so long. Can they carry momentum into that postseason? And I don't know. It's hard. I mean, it's a real thing. It's only human nature that when you've accomplished what you set out to do in step one and you've got to wait, what, month and a half for step two,
yeah,
that you just have a letdown. And the Cubs seemingly have had a little bit of that. If anybody's good at taking care of that, it's going to be their manager. Joe's really, I mean, he's a great manager. And this is the kind of stuff, the mental stuff, that he is best at. But I don't know. I mean, right now, on paper, they're the best team. momentum-wise, the Red Sox have more momentum than anyone. Texas sits there and completely gets forgotten about because teams, the team in Texas that does around baseball, they're very good. They're a team you don't want to be playing. They're probably as consistent in the course of the year as anybody except the Cubs. So, I mean, I think this thing is wide open. And, again, you got teams like the Cardinals and the Orioles and Seattle who may come in as wild card teams. You got to be real careful because, as we've seen over the years, the winner of that wild card game has momentum that develops from that game that moves on. They don't have all that time off to deal with where they're not playing. And there's no question that time off for the division winners has an impact. GMs and managers are still trying to figure out what to do with that, whether you play simulated games or you take time off. It's a tough period for guys who've gone through a whole season without days off.
Hey, Gary, before we let you go, it is the last day of summer, and all summer long we've been asking guests to go back in time to when they were young and pick out
what?
Well, I know, it's hard to believe.
Hard to remember.
A favorite summer song that when you were younger you used to love to turn up on the car radio, roll the windows down, maybe sing along, or maybe play on the radio back in your days as a child DJ at WABI.
Thank you for putting that in as a child DJ. It's by the Flamingos. It's called Your Other Love. I'm probably the only human being in Bangor, Maine, who ever played that song on a daily basis on his show. But I did. It was a great Motown song early. I loved it. And it was a summer song for me. It is, for me, it's one of those you crank down the windows and turn the thing up. And of a newer variety, What Becomes of a Broken Heart. I love the Detroit version of that. I love Joan Osborne's version of that. And those, if I had to take two songs and say, you know, these are the ones, the only two I'm going to be able to play for the rest of my life, those would be probably the two I'd pick out.
All right, we're going to play them later in the show just for you, sir.
God love you.
Yep, that's what we do. Hey, Gary, have a great game tonight. Thanks, as always,
Gary,
for making time for us.
Always.
We'll see you soon.
Well.
All right, bye-bye now. That's Gary Thorne, voice of the Orioles, Old Town native.